The men's room door had a loose latch and was apt to fly open in any strong puff of wind unless bolted shut from the inside. So Brad and Hugh always stuffed a piece of folded cardboard into the crack to keep the door shut when the restroom wasn't in use. If the man from the Buick had been inside the toilet, the fold of cardboard would either have been in there with him and probably left beside one of the sink's faucets while the man tended his business, or it would be lying on the small cement stoop at the foot of the door. This latter was usually the case, Brad later told Ennis Rafferty. He and Hugh were always putting that cardboard wedge back in its place after the customers left. They had to flush the toilet as well more often than not. People were careless about that when they were away from home. People were, as a rule, downright nasty when they were away from home. Right now, that cardboard wedge was poking out of the crack between the door and the jamb, just above the latch, exactly where it worked the best. All the same, Brad opened the door to check, catching the little cardboard wedge neatly as it fell. As neatly as he would learn to open a bottle of beer on the driver's side handle of his own Buick in later years. The little cubicle was empty, just as he'd known in his heart it would be. No sign that the toilet had been used. And there had been no sound of a flush as Brad sat in the office reading his paper. No beads of water on the rust-stained sides of the basin, either. It occurred to Brad then that the guy hadn't come around the side of the station to use the can, but to take a look at Redfern Stream, which was pretty enough to warrant a peek, or even a snap at the old Kodak from a passerby, running as it did, with the Statler Bluffs on its north side and all those willows up on top, spreading out green like a mermaid's hair. There was a poet in the boy, all right, a regular Dylan McYeats. But around back, there was no sign of the Buick's driver, either, only discarded auto parts and a couple of ancient tractor axles lying in the weeds like rusty bones. The stream was babbling at the top of its lungs, running broad and foamy. Its swelling would be a temporary condition, of course. Floods in western PA are spring events, as a rule. But that day, the normally sleepy Redfern was quite the torrent. Seeing how high the water was gave rise to a horrifying possibility in Bradley Roach's mind. He measured the steep slope down to the water. The grass was still wet with rain and probably got dang slippery, especially if an unsuspecting SKA came thee-in and thou-in along in shoes with slippery leather soles. As he considered this, the possibility hardened to a near certainty in his mind. Nothing else explained the unused shithouse and the car still waiting at the high test pump, all loaded and ready to go, key still in the ignition. Old Mr. Buick Roadmaster had gone around back for a peek at the Redfern, had foolishly dared the embankment slope to get an even better look, and then, whoops, there goes your ball game. Bradley worked his own way down to the water's edge, slipping a couple of times in spite of his Georgia Giants, but not falling, always keeping near some hunk of junk he could grab if he did lose his footing. There was no sign of the man at the water's edge. But when Brad looked downstream, he saw something caught in the lee of a fallen birch about 200 yards from where he stood, bobbing up and down. Black. It could have been Mr. Buick Roadmaster's coat. "Oh, shit," he said and hurried back to the office to call Troop D, which was at least 2 miles closer to his location than the local cop shop. And that was how...